school is back in session and Labor Day is right around the corner. The Bible says the hands of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Also, God gives us the power to get well to establish His covenant. This Labor Day, reflect on the blessings we have in this country to be able to work hard and receive a reward for doing so. And if you're still in the workforce, thank God for the ability and opportunity to work.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are continuing our sermon series, applying biblical principles to government. And I want to quickly go over the deadlines, the election deadlines that haven't yet happened. The date to request a absentee ballot or vote by mail ballot is August 8th. Early voting, the mandatory period, starts August 10th and runs through the 17th. In some counties, it will start early. Election day for the primary election is August 20th. For the general election, the vote-by-mail ballots will start going out on the 26th of September. The deadline to register to vote in the general election is October 7th. And the deadline to request a vote-by-mail ballot is October 24th. The mandatory period of early voting is October 26th through November 2nd, and Election Day is November 5th. In addition to voting for the candidates in November, we do encourage you to vote no on Amendment 4. Amendment 4 is a radical pro-abortion amendment that will allow and legalize abortion all the way up until birth. There's no law, no regulation, no restriction. The only restriction is that there's no restrictions at all up until the moment of viability, which isn't defined. But once viability happens, however that's going to be decided, once viability happens, all that's necessary is for a medical provider, not a doctor, could be the receptionist at a chiropractor's office, literally, could be the receptionist at the abortion clinic, could be the abortionist himself or herself who will financially profit off of the death of the preborn child, slicing the baby's arms and legs off. If that medical professional determines that an abortion is necessary, not to save the life of the mother, because it's never necessary to rip a baby limb from limb to save the mother's life. But if what they're saying is not only the life, but also the health of the mother. So it could, and health is not defined. Could be financial health, could be emotional health. Really, what you're allowing, if you vote yes on Amendment 4, and if Amendment 4 passes, what we're looking at is Florida will become an abortion vacation state. People will come here from surrounding states to kill their preborn children. And the blood of those preborn children will cry out to God for vengeance. So we do encourage you to vote no on Amendment 4. As you go to vote, though, on the various candidates and the issues, in some counties there are also judges on the ballot as well. We actually are encouraging you to, one, read the Bible, determine and find out what God says about government, because God speaks to every area of life, including government, not just your own personal life and your family and your church, but also our cities, states, and nations. The founding fathers read quite often from the first and second treaties on government by John Locke, which had over 2,000 biblical footnotes backing up from the Bible, 2,000 of these backing up various principles that he was espousing in his first and second treaties on government. The Bible does speak to every area of life, and it's time that we start applying it to government. So study what God says, and also study where the candidates stand on the issues. And you can go to FloridaVotesValues.com and you can find voter guides. We do have some local voter guides available, and our local voter guides available in some counties. We also have links to voter guides that will cover judicial and as well. In addition to judicial voter guides, we also have links that will provide you with information on the candidates running for state and federal office as well. And really, we have something really for someone in every county of this state. If you don't have a local voter guide, if we don't have a local voter guide in your county and you want to help produce one, let us know and get in touch with us, and we can do that. We can help you with that. Now, we're going to be quoting from the Bible today, and we're going to quote from the Founding Fathers as well. By the way, if you've missed any of these sermons, this is Sermon 5 in a series. You can go to our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, or our church YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle, and you can actually view these videos from the previous sermons. But from George Washington, who is known as the father of our country, he said this: the federal government can never be in danger of degenerating into a monarchy, an oligarchy, an aristarchy, or any other despotic or oppressive form, so long as there remains any virtue in the body of the people. Daniel Webster, early American jurist and senator, said this: if we in our posterity reject religious instruction and authority, violate the rules of eternal justice, trifle with the injunctions of morality, and recklessly destroy the political constitutions which hold us together, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us that shall bury all our glory in profound obscurity. And the first principle that we're going to cover today is that rulers must keep the rule of law. This is critical. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister for you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear this sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. And so the Bible here shows us that God appoints civil magistrates, and he appoints them to punish the wicked and to reward the righteous. We know they don't always do that, and really, one of the things that you do see is that even as a nation departs from God in his precepts, God will actually raise up tyrannical governments and tyrannical leaders to rule over them to suppress wickedness. Even though wickedness still happens, it doesn't happen to the extent. So it's vitally important that our rulers uphold the rule of law. We have seen in the last 4 years, it has been incredible, the changes that we have seen in this nation, in certain parts of this country. In 2020, we saw riots where in most cases, people weren't even arrested. There were 25 people killed, over $2 billion in property damage. By the way, these rioters were supposedly rioting to protest oppression of blacks, and yet many of them were burning down businesses that were owned by blacks. And for many of those people, nothing happened. One thing that's interesting is that Vice President Kamala Harris, who's a presidential candidate now, actually raised money to bond out rioters. By the way, you can go and you can search this out. It does still exist today. There's actually also a freedom fund that Kamala Harris has supported that actually puts murderers, rape and rapists back on the streets. It's still up and running today. You can go there if you were so inclined and donate money. This is ridiculous what is happening. We have seen in certain cities in this nation, theft is no longer prosecuted. In San Francisco, you can steal something, and as long as it's not worth $950, you won't be prosecuted. And you've even seen mobs just rushing stores and going in and taking things and stealing. Of course, they're violating the commandments of God. Our laws should be based on the commandments of God. This should never happen. You know, in New York, we see prosecutor Alvin Bragg that literally brought trumped up charges against President Trump, but he refuses to prosecute certain crimes. And it's so bad in New York for businesses that they even have to lock up spam so that people don't steal spam. Now imagine that, something that costs like $4. Because theft is so prevalent, the stores are having to lock up spam. And a lot of the people that are proponents of not arresting people and not prosecuting people, they're saying, well, we need criminal justice reform. And I agree that we need criminal justice reform because there's a lot of laws on the books that should be struck. They're not biblical. It should never be illegal to do some of the things that it is illegal to do from a biblical basis. Yet people are advocating for just throwing out the law and throwing out the system rather than reforming it according to biblical principles. And rulers really need to work to reform the law or our laws based on the law of God. And this is something you can read. By the way, there's case laws. You see the Ten Commandments in Exodus, repeated also in Deuteronomy. Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy 5 is the repeat. You also will see, though, in the book of Exodus, following the Ten Commandments, and also in the book of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, you'll see various case law that shows how the law should be applied. And these actually give specific punishments for various types of crime. And so when we look at criminal justice reform, it actually needs to be based on God's law. And you can read in Exodus 22, verses 5 through 9, if a man causes a field or vineyard to be grazed and lets loose his animal and it feeds in another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. And it goes on, and really what you're looking at is restitution. What happens today if someone goes out and steals? Well, we already talked, in some cities, nothing happens to them, depending on the value. You can go out and steal a TV. As long as it's worth less than $950, you're okay. Steal a washing machine, a dryer. You could steal a whole bunch of things that are less than $950, and nothing will happen to you at all. But in states like Florida, where something will happen to you, what happens is the person is arrested and they're taken to jail. Of course, they could be bonded out. If they're not bonded out, they'll stay in jail. And the person that was stolen from not only has the loss of whatever was stolen from him or her, but that person also has to pay taxes to keep the thief in jail, to feed the thief, to provide the thief with medical care. It's not great medical care, dental care. It's not great dental care, but it is still care. It does still cost the taxpayers. And it's not great food either, but it still costs the taxpayers money. And that the person that was stolen from has to pay money to support the system that actually prosecutes the criminal, the thief as well. And then what will happen is maybe at some point that person will get a check, and that check will be equal to what was stolen. But in the meantime, that person has paid taxes to support the thief. So you see that our current system doesn't teach your responsibility, or teaches, it actually furthers the problem, because what happens is that guy that's in jail, well, who's he going to be in jail with? He's going to be in jail with other criminals. And let me tell you, and I know because I was in jail for peacefully protecting preborn children, not for doing something that was wrong, rather than upholding the commandment that God gave and the authority that God gave to civil magistrates and rewarding the righteous, those who were trying to save life, and punishing the wicked, those who were actually trying to rip babies limb from limb by abortion. What I actually had experienced was that criminals that were in jail, they actually were talking to each other, and they were learning how to do things better, how to not get caught next time. How to run faster, how to do things in a different way so that they wouldn't get caught. So our current system does not work and is not based on biblical principles. Jail, by the way, should only be there for a very short period of time. And there is another provision for when someone accidentally kills someone, there is a provision for that person to be held. Really, they would be held at liberty, and they would have to provide for their own needs, but they would have to stay within a certain city that was set up for such a case. So we really need to look at reforming our criminal justice system based on the Bible. Rulers must also defend Israel. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, we read, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." Rulers must protect our borders. One of the things that the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 24, verse 22, "You shall have the same law for the stranger and for the one from your own country, for I am the Lord your God." And also in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 12 through 13, "Gather the people together, men and women and little ones and strangers, who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that your children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as they live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess." So you see that they were to have the same law for the strangers and for the citizens, for those who were Jewish. And even the stranger was to hear the law of God. It's very important that the people coming into this country honor our laws. And if they're coming in illegally, obviously they're not honoring our laws. And we, by the way, what has happened in the last 4 years at the border is just crazy. We have at least 30,000 Chinese nationals that have come into this country. We have people from terrorist nations that have come into this country. People that hate us, that want to destroy us, have come into this country. I mean, 30,000 people. I mean, that's a small army. And you can imagine if 30,000 people marched into a city with automatic weapons, you can imagine what havoc they could actually reap. And so it's very important that we make sure that those that are coming in will keep our laws, that we only let those that are coming in that will keep our laws, and we don't let people come in here illegally into this country. The flip side of this, biblically, is that rulers must not allow the mistreating of strangers. In Exodus chapter 22, again from the case laws of Exodus, verse 21, we read, "You shall neither mistreat a stranger, nor oppress him, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. One of the things that does happen with illegal immigration is that it does set up those who come here who are strangers to be mistreated, because really they can't go out and get a bank account. So they're walking around with cash, and the thieves know that they're walking around with cash. And if they're robbed, they're going to be reluctant to call the police because they are not here legally and they don't want to be deported. And so what happens is a lot of times they just get robbed, or they join together and form a gang. And so then you have the illegal immigrant criminals versus the criminals that want to steal from the illegal immigrant criminals. It's not something that's right. We're allowing the mistreatment of strangers by allowing people to come here illegally. There have also been illegal immigrants that have actually, just in the last year, killed innocent citizens in the United States, citizens that did nothing to deserve death. One that I know of happened in Georgia. There was also a 12-year-old girl that was killed, and the accused killers are actually illegal immigrants that were released by ICE. So ICE had them. They could have deported them. They could have kept them in custody. Instead, they released them, and these thugs went out and reportedly killed a 12-year-old girl. There have been people, young girls, coming across the border that are raped multiple times, so many times that they actually are prescribed birth control prior to coming so that they don't get pregnant by these thugs that are bringing them across the border. There was even one instance where there was actually a truckload of illegal immigrants that were dead. The truck was discovered, and the people inside were actually dead. And this brings us to the next point here, that rulers must defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. In Psalm 33, verses 16 through 20, we read, "No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty king, or mighty man, is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." Our rulers are supposed to actually, in addition, certainly our strength and our defense doesn't come from the army, but from our weapons, it comes from God. But rulers need to be seeking God. The people in America need to be seeking God and need to be defending us against enemies and not letting our enemies just cross the border. I can guarantee you, out of the 30,000 Chinese nationals that came here, that some of them hate us and want to destroy us. And you can see what happened on 9/11 with just a few people that hated us and wanted to destroy us. Imagine what could happen with 30,000 people that want to hate us and want to destroy us. Rulers must protect property rights. This is something Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 14 says, "You shall not remove your neighbor's landmark, which the men of old have set in your inheritance, which you will inherit in the land of the Lord your God is giving you to possess." So one of the things that happens with property tax is that your property can actually be taken from you, which robs the children of that person of that wealth, of that money. And property tax, therefore, is an unjust and unbiblical type of taxation. Taxation, as we talked about last week, should be much lower than it is. The government shouldn't need all the different ways to get into your wallet, and they should live on less. But what actually is necessary? What is necessary is for the government to actually, first of all, limit the amount that they're spending, reduce their expenditures, and then also come up with other ways of funding what is necessary, and that really only what is necessary should be funded. And they should do that in a way that doesn't take away property rights. Rulers must also defend the right for people to defend themselves. Again, in the case laws of Exodus, Exodus 22, verse 2, if a thief is found breaking in and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. And really what we're talking about there, obviously there wasn't any guns back then, but in a society where guns do exist, in a time where guns do exist, taking guns away from law-abiding citizens doesn't help. In fact, the murder rates in cities where people can't own a gun and can't protect themselves is much higher than in cities where people can have a gun and can defend themselves. You know, there are even some areas of this country where it is legally required for every homeowner to have a gun to be able to protect their property. And I can guarantee you that the murder rate and the break-in rates in those counties, are lower than they are in the counties where they don't allow citizens to protect themselves. And this is a biblical principle. Know that God has actually called us, and he actually specifies what needs to happen. And we need to look at the Bible. We need to apply biblical principles to government and look at the candidates, see where they stand. None of them are going to be perfect, but vote for the candidate that most closely represents the principles of the Bible. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
And remember, Jesus is Lord over your county, over your state, over this nation, and over the world. School is back in session and Labor Day is right around the corner. The Bible says the hands of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Also, God gives us the power to get well to establish his covenant. This Labor Day, reflect on the blessings we have in this country to be able to work hard and receive a reward for doing so. And if you're still in the workforce, thank God for the ability and opportunity to work.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Search my heart.